The Las Vegas Raiders have partnered with the global lifestyle app True Connect to give the gift of wellness. Transform your mind, body, and soul through thousands of hours of premium fitness content, guided meditations, progress tracking, and more. Visit tcfree.fit to redeem one free year of True Connect exclusively for Raider Nation.
You're listening to A Pawn Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network. Here's your host, Eddie Pascal.
Raider Nation, what is going on? Eddie Pascal here back at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, and thank you for hanging out with us for another episode of A Pawn Further Review brought to you by the good people at Coors Light. And we are in the midst of it all, my friends. We are moving and shaking here in this building, and it feels good. The energy is electric for the last week of March? I don't know. Let's call it late March. The second week of the 2023 league year for the Las Vegas Raiders and the rest of the NFL. And last week, obviously the big signings, right? We're looking at the Jimmy G's, the Jacoby Myers, the Marcus Epps, those types of folks, right? And for understandable reason, a lot of excitement, a lot of intrigue surrounding these guys. Well, that's part of free agency, right? That is part of it. Now we have officially entered kind of the second wave, the end of the second wave into the beginning of the third wave of free agency. And while the names that the Raiders have signed, and more on them in just a second, might not be the biggest, sexiest, flashiest names out there on the market, let us not forget that the Raiders had nearly 30 unrestricted free agents, I should say, guys whose contracts were coming up. That's a third of your team. That's not even including the restricted free agents, the exclusive rights guy. So if you call it, just for the sake of this conversation, a round number of 30, right? That's a third of your team. And yes, a lot of those positions, that roster turnover will be taken care of during the draft next month. But your draft class is not 30 guys. So the Raiders had to go in. Yes, they had to make some splashes last week, obviously with Jimmy G. But then you have to go in and you got to add depth pieces. And that is exactly what the Raiders have done this week. As I said, more on that in just a second. But, this week we're feeling good about everything happening in the building. We're feeling good about this episode of the show. Our guy Trevor Sikkema from PFF joins us in just a few minutes, covers the NFL draft, covers the NFL at large, and does a fantastic job for our boys out there, based in Cincinnati, but our boys who are now all over the contiguous 48. And it's great to chat with him about a variety of things, really. And I think that this was such a unique week for us and really for the NFL at large because you're kind of coming off of the wake of the Jimmy G move, right? Raiders have figured out quarterback. What happens next? What are the kind of ripple effects of that? And we talked to Trevor about that and so much more, and we'll roll that interview here in just a second. But I hope everyone is sitting down, you're at a red light in your car or something, because it's time for our transactions brought to you by Shift4 Payments, and we got a lot of them. So here we go. This is the last time we talked, which really was not that long ago, because remember we had the Jimmy G Spectacular on Friday, and that's when we put the show out. So as we record this now on a Wednesday, a lot's been going on in this building. A lot. So, over the past couple of days, the Raiders have made the following moves. And again, it's a lot. They re-signed linebacker Curtis Bolton, fullback Jakob Johnson, and center Hronus Grisu, go Ducks, and also signed long snapper Jacob Bobenmeyer. The very next day, on the 19th, they re-signed guard/tackle Jermaine Illuminor. Welcome back, Jermaine. And then released long snapper Trent Sieg, friend of the program, Trent Sieg. Wish him nothing but the best. He was such a stud the entire time he was here with us. And as is tradition, we wish nothing but health and happiness and success and all that good stuff for Trent, except the day that he plays the Raiders. Okay, moving on to March 20th, where the Raiders signed defensive lineman Jordan Willis and tight end O.J. Howard. More on the tight end group in just a second. The very next day, as I said, we got a lot. Dave Ziegler and company signed wide receiver Cam Sims and safety Jaquan Johnson. And then earlier this week, our final move as of now, the Raiders signed cornerback David Long Jr. and signed tight end Austin Hooper. So, by my admittedly shoddy calculations, the Raiders have signed or re-signed since the start of the league year, which is just over a week old now, 24 players. 24. That is a lot of contracts getting done. That is a lot of new faces in the building. That is a lot of old faces now returning to this building. And look, I said it at the top, right? Not a lot of big flashy names here in this second group, right? Understandably. You know, we're looking at Jordan Willis. You're looking at a depth piece on the defensive line. If you can get a little more out of him, fantastic. Same with Jaquan Johnson on the back end of the secondary. The one that really stands out to me, and I will say two that stand out to me. Earlier today, Raiders signed tight end Austin Hooper, two-time Pro Bowler Austin Hooper, a guy who, when he is right, has been immensely productive in the NFL. We're looking at 6'4", 254 pounds, balled out his first couple years in the league, 105 career games, 59 starts, totaling 339 receptions for just under 3,500 yards and 25 touchdowns. Last year, Hooper went wire to wire for the Titans, recorded 41 catches for 444 yards and two tutties. Look, he's a quality tight end. He's a guy that's been to the Pro Bowl multiple times. And now you look at this room and, you know, after Darren Waller was sent to New York, you look at the tight end room and you look at the tight end position group as a position of need, right? You're looking at the guys who are currently at the roster at the time. We're looking at Jesper Horsted, Cole Fotheringham. No disrespect to either of those two gentlemen, but you need to have more than two tight ends on a roster going into the offseason program. So I think it made sense where you're like, okay, what is Dave Ziegler and company? What are they going to do? How are they going to add to this group? And they've done it in a big way this week. OJ Howard, former first-round pick, and now Austin Hooper earlier today. So you look at the moves, and to me, and it's the same thing I said last week. The moves that the Raiders have made thus far, and again, just over a week into the league year, to me, they might not be flashy. They might not be the shiniest toy on the in the toy bucket in the toy chest, but they're functional. They make sense. And I think that when you look at what Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels are doing right now in terms of building a roster, emphasis on a roster, not building, you know, a roster of 25 guys, but really building a roster of 90. Everything they've done has made sense. You had to have quarterback figured out. Yet no ifs, ands, or buts. It was, I wouldn't even say the worst kept secret. It was just the most glaringly obvious thing as we came into this offseason. What are the Raiders going to do at quarterback? It became very clear Derek Carr was not going to be that long-term answer. He is now in New Orleans. So who's going to be the guy? And I say who's going to be the guy not only for, you know, the length of duration is we can debate that until the cows come home. But who's going to be the guy when the Raiders show up for the offseason workout program, when the Raiders get to camp, that's going to be under center? One is going to be Chase Garbers. Again, no offense to Chase Garbers. But who is it going to be? You have that figured out with Jimmy G. You have that figured out. Now you're slowly going down the list of building things up, right? Tight end room, check. Wouldn't surprise me if there was another piece or two added there for depth, either in the draft or closer to training camp as well. Wouldn't be surprised at all. The offensive line, you had some questions on. Jermaine Illuminor is back. Hronus Grisou is back. Again, as much as I love Hronus Grisou, an Oregon legend, a depth piece at this point. But you look at Jermaine, a guy who has started in this league, and it gives you options now. Brandon Parker is back in the mix. Brandon Parker at right tackle. Jermaine at right tackle. We know that Jermaine has that versatility to pop inside if need be. Let's not forget about Thayer Mumford now headed into year two. So you feel better about the offensive line. Jakob Johnson, underrated signing coming back. Makes a little more sense for the offense now. Another weapon for Jimmy G, another guy who's good in pass protection, guy who can do a lot of things for you. You're adding now depth to that wide receiver room. We're looking at Cam Sims. DB as well, Jaquan Howard. David Long Jr. earlier today. So my point is this. The Raiders are building up a full roster. Now, I think to me, I heard from you guys, on the Twitter, what you want now, and I completely understand, is you want some help for the defense, particularly the defensive line. And I get it. I get it. Now, will that help come in perhaps these second and third waves of free agency? Is that a need that will be addressed more likely in the draft? Time will tell. But we know the needs of the team. We know the needs right now. And look, I give this disclaimer, gosh, it feels like every offseason, and I have to do it several times throughout the offseason, every month, every 6 weeks. No team in the NFL, as we record this on March 22nd, is a finished product, including your Las Vegas Raiders. There are holes that need to be filled on this roster. There are needs that need to be addressed on this roster. There are things and players and pieces and things that will move and shift and change and morph. Certainly before the draft, during the draft, and then throughout the offseason program, and then ultimately in training camp, right? So do I understand the fan sentiment of, yeah, we've added all these pieces and Jimmy G's here and that's great, but who's going to play defense? Yes, I get it. Of course I get it. But I also have to caution just a little bit of patience, which I know is the hardest thing to ask a fan base. I get that. Just a little bit of patience. Because again, no team is complete in late March. No team is complete really in late April. The goal is that you feel really good about your group going to training camp. Then you're able to slice and dice and figure out who your best 53 are when you get into week one. And we have a long, I wish we had the graphic, we could do a long route with all the O's way until week one. So I get it. I understand it. Stay patient, and it'll all work out in the end. It'll be good. Don't worry. Okay, with that said, we're feeling good about our guests this week. No. We're feeling great about our guests this week. My man Trevor Sikkema from PFF, one of our favorite dudes that we've gotten to know over the past year or two. We see him all around the NFL. We see him on NFL Network. We see him live and in person at some of these great events the NFL puts on. We saw him at the Combine, and it was great to catch up with him. Again, Trevor does a fantastic job covering the draft and the NFL at large for PFF, and a really kind of unique viewpoint into everything that's going on in the league right now. But for the sake of our conversation, everything going on with the silver and black. So with that said, everyone, enjoy our conversation with PFF's own Trevor Sikkema. Trevor, let's just start here. Big news in Raiderland last week, end of last week. Jimmy Garoppolo, now the new starting quarterback for your Las Vegas Raiders. In a very general sense, what does your gut tell you how this changes what Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels do at number 7 in the draft? Or does it not change the calculus at all?
So I do think it does change things a little bit, and it emphasizes what you said there, number 7 overall. I felt like the Raiders were a team that could have been a candidate to make a jump, maybe all the way up to number 1 overall, when Chicago still had the pick at the very top of the draft, maybe with the Arizona Cardinals sitting there at number 3, maybe even a little jump with the Seattle Seahawks at 5 if the draft kind of came that way. Now I feel like they're going to be comfortable at number 7, right? I feel like they probably had some of those discussions, and what the Bears or what the Cardinals were looking in for in return didn't exactly line up with what they wanted to give up. And so, you know, you go sign a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, who obviously has a lot of familiarity with the coaching staff and Josh McDaniels there. And so you like that right off the bat. They can kind of hit the ground running, so you're comfortable in that regard. But I also think that it continues to give them flexibility for what they do at number 7. If a quarterback that maybe they really like, a quarterback of the future, falls to them at 7, then they might pull the trigger there. But what free agency is all about is you just want to fill out the holes on your roster to give you the flexibility to navigate the draft as best you possibly can with the most value you can. So I think that in that sense, the Jimmy Garoppolo signing was a really good one for the Raiders.
You know, and I think for me, and I'm curious for your two cents, like adding Jimmy G makes a ton of sense, like you said, for a variety of reasons. One, obviously him and Josh know each other really well. The Raiders, quarterback position of need, stating the obvious. And it, you know, you look at what Jimmy has done throughout his career, the guy's a winner. You can say whatever you want about, is it pretty? Is it ugly? Like, you look at the man's winning percentage and he wins football games. But
well, it's Jimmy Garoppolo, so it is pretty. He's a good looking guy. So wins are pretty.
You know what's really funny? Quick tangent before we return. It is so funny to me over the past, let's call it 4 or 5 days, the amount of women in my life that have reached out to me. My mom has done it. My mother-in-law, who's great. Boy, how about that Jimmy G, huh? How about that Jimmy G? I was like, I get it, guys. We all understand. He is incredibly handsome. He looks like George Clooney 2.0. We all get it. We all get it, Mom. Calm down.
You're responding to your mom. You're like, yeah, say something about the Jacoby Myers signing, Mom. Yeah. Come on.
She's like, oh, I'm sure he's nice too. Is he a nice young man? But you know, you look at Jimmy, and right, he comes in, and I think for Dave Ziegler and Josh McDaniels on this front office now, right, it feels like you're now taking one variable out of having a gamble, right? Because I mean, you guys have talked about it a ton. It's kind of the trendy thing to talk about because it's the most entertaining thing in the NFL right now. That top 5, 6, 7 picks. what happens with the quarterbacks there? Like, you could get that run conceivably. You get four in the first five or four in the first six, whatever it is. But now if you're the Raiders, like you said, you don't have to worry about kind of keeping your fingers crossed that your guy is there at seven or you're in a tough place, because you do have Jimmy there, because you do have a signal caller in place that knows the offense and theoretically can get you from A to Z in 2023.
Yeah, and certainly a lot of people who are watching and listening to this are going to say, hey, you need to nail quarterback above anything else. So there might be some that are saying like, oh man, they should have given up the farm to go up to get a guy who they really want at quarterback. And I guess time will tell to see if that would have been the right move or not. But there's no doubt about it. When you look at this Raiders team, you go, okay, what could be some of the needs that this Raiders team really needs to prioritize? Well, unfortunately, it's a lot of the premium pillar positions of the game, the ones that you have to draft early: pass rusher, offensive line, lockdown corner, right? Those are some areas that people would point to on this roster and say they could use some big time impact talent. Well, they're sitting there at number seven. And if the quarterbacks, let's say four of them, even if just three of them go off the board before number seven overall, it means that you could have your pick of the litter of any offensive lineman in this draft, maybe any corner in this draft, probably a dang good pass rusher too, whether you wanted an interior guy or an edge rusher. So I just feel as though they gained a lot of flexibility by doing this. Do they need to nail quarterback? Yes, of course they still do. But getting Jimmy Garoppolo in the building, getting him signed, does give you that flexibility to capitalize on the board as it might fall to you at number seven without having to give up a king's ransom to go up to number three or number one.
You know, I think what's really interesting too here, Trevor, for the fan base, particularly in Las Vegas, is the Raiders, as it stands right now, as we record this on a Tuesday morning, have 12 draft picks in the 2023 NFL draft,
Yeah.
And so we talk about flexibility and the ability to move up, to move back, to go get a guy, to go find your guy and go get him. I mean, having 12 picks for a guy like Dave Ziegler, just, I mean, his, I imagine when he sits in his office and he looks at the big board and he sees all the numbers of his picks, I imagine his eyes have to get big, because that type of draft capital is so valuable, particularly in a year like this, where you said the Raiders want their needs. They are some kind of those, they are some of those kind of big dog positions.
Yeah. And look, I think, what is it? 3 fifth-round picks, 2 sixth, 2 sevenths, right? And so when you look at some of the earlier picks, they're probably going to say, okay, we're going to want to move some of that day three capital and turn it into maybe early day two capital, like move up in the third round with the third round selection that they have, the comp picks there that they have. So maybe you're pairing a couple of draft picks with a team that doesn't have as many, that really just wants to get more bodies, because that's the thing. Like, they're not going to use all 12 draft picks.
Sure.
You don't want to sign all 12 draft picks. I don't get me wrong. Nobody loves to draft more than I do. I love the theory of what these guys can be and what they can become. But at a numbers game alone, you having 12 guys that you're bringing in for a draft class, this is a lot. You probably want something closer to an 8, right? Something around there, maybe between the 7 and 9 range, depending on how you're trying to build out your team. Some teams like a little bit more, some teams like a little bit less, depending on what they're going for. But that's what I feel like the Raiders might be able to do, is not only have that flexibility at number seven, but also with a lot of that extra day three capital, maybe pair that or one or two of those selections and their later third round pick to move up a little bit higher, or their fourth round pick to move up a little bit higher, whatever it is. I think that's a good strategy for them going into the draft.
And you talk about those 12 picks and kind of the perfect size for a draft class. That's not even talking about the UDFAs that are going to come after the draft ends on Saturday. So now all of a sudden you're looking at a draft class of, oh my God, we're at 23 guys. Like, that's just not, to your point, it's not feasible, right? I don't think that's how any team wants to kind of build their roster. But in terms of roster management and roster construction, the Raiders have, after the Jimmy Garoppolo signing, have, in my opinion, been very kind of deliberate in how they've attacked free agency, right? There's not a ton of big name guys. You're looking at Jacoby Myers, Marcus Epps, Philip Dorsett, guys like that are coming into the building. But, you know, I've always been of the mind that you're not building your team through free agency, right? Like, to your point, you're kind of supplementing, you're filling holes. And, you know, really, as we approach as we get close to the week mark of the new league year, it hasn't been sexy, but I think for the 2023 Raiders, being deliberate and being purposeful in free agency is not a bad thing.
No, it's not at all. Like, that's in fact the goal. I think that every general manager and head coach would tell you what we're trying to do is we want to get guys in the building that gives us flexibility in the draft, because that's where you really hit the home runs. You don't hit a lot of home runs in free agency, especially when it's not you bringing back your own guys. It's very rare that you get that opportunity where your needs, who is available in free agency, and you happen to have the free agency salary cap flexibility to bring all of those guys in. It just doesn't hit very often. And so going into every offseason, that's what you want to do. I mean, like, for example, the Robert Spillane signing, right? Linebacker in there. He's a thumper, right? Like, he's a run defender. He's a guy who is going to be reliable for you between the tackles. Didn't feel like the Raiders had that on the roster right now, right? You've got guys who are a little bit lighter, these faster athletic guys, these hybrid kind of players that you're using as former safeties that have turned linebacker, or however you want to say it. Those guys are just those athletes, and you probably wanted that real kind of thumper middle linebacker. And so, like, that's an example of a signing where you bring Spillane in, and it's like, all right, is he going to light the world on fire? No, probably not. But he rounds out what you want to do. He fills out some desperate holes to where you don't have to go into the draft and go, oh boy, we don't get a run-stopping linebacker, we're going to be screwed this year. So I think that's where the Raiders did a good job with what was available for them and trying to fill out those needs to give them some more draft flexibility.
Yeah, and speaking of Robert Spillane, real quick, I mean, when he came into the studio last week when he signed, he told me his nickname was Splat, and I was like, I don't know if there's a better middle linebacker thumper nickname than Splat in the entire NFL. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I think the fans here are understandably excited about, because to your point, right, you have all these kind of hybrid guys that play an important role, but you need that OG big dog gonna put your put your shoulder pads down and bring some to the ground. So we love to see those kind of guys. And the other thing too, Trevor, for me is, like, we look at this group, this initial wave of guys that have come in, especially in those first couple days. You know, for the Raiders, they're all guys there that have won. I mean, you look at Jimmy G, we talk about his winning percentage. The guy just wins. Jacoby Myers coming from the Patriots, he's won. Marcus Epps just got, you know, on the tail end of a Super Bowl run. Like, what's the value of bringing dudes into your program that, you know, innately have just found a way to win in the NFL come Sunday?
Yeah, I definitely agree that that has value. And I think that people on social media look at things and they kind of roll their eyes when they hear the phrase like, oh, he's a winner or something like that. And sure, it can be overplayed a little bit. And sometimes it doesn't mean as much as it does in other instances. But I'll tell you, man, I started my sports broadcasting, sports coverage career, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm from the Tampa Bay area, and I believe 2017 was my first season there. And I watched, even just as a native of the area, I watched some bad Buccaneers teams for a long, long time over the course of the last decade before then. And so when I got to actually get in that locker room and cover those guys, I'll tell you, there is something to just winning being a part of your DNA. Because that did not exist in the Buccaneers locker room. And I'll tell you, that 2017, 2018, 2019 seasons, they had good players. They had talent on that team, but they didn't have guys where winning was just a part of what they did. In fact, they were part of teams that had just been disappointing after year after year after year. And you could tell it kind of gets to them. They kind of start to believe that a little bit before you get people to kind of come in and change that mentality for you. And obviously them getting Tom Brady changed everything in that regard mentally. But that is an edge, and that is an important part of a locker room that not a lot of people take seriously. And I do think that it matters. This is the most important thing in the world? No. But when you start to bring in talent, having that identity and having that feeling of, yeah, I mean, that's what we do here. We win. I came from a place where we won. I'm not changing who I am. We're not changing who we are as a group. We expect to go out there and win. There is absolutely something to that. So as the team kind of comes together and as they kind of form out the rest of this roster, it is important to get guys who have that DNA and just have that naturally in. That's what we do when we show up on Sundays.
Yeah, I mean, Al Davis said, right? Just win, baby. Doesn't matter. Just win. Trevor, before we let you out of here, man, give me one guy in the draft that you're just fired up about. I don't want like a top 10 guy. I don't want Anthony Richardson. I don't want one of these beast defensive ends. Go dig a little deeper in that deep notebook you got. Give me one guy you're fired up to see come the fall.
Okay. The first guy that comes to my mind is Keaton Mitchell, the running back from ECU.
Okay.
He is a small little running back, but he wears number 2, which, first of all, phenomenal number.
Incredible.
And I got to watch him won the very first game of the year, and the second he touched the ball for the first time, I went, that guy's different. And I kind of to look up, like, he's a former track guy who has incredible speed when he puts on the helmet and pads. He was one of the fastest guys that we saw at the combine this past year, and I later got to see him in person when ECU came to Cincinnati and played there. I got to go see the game in person, and again, He just looked like a different athlete. So I don't know where he's going to get drafted. Feels like a mid-round guy, maybe an early day three selection just because of his size. He's a little bit smaller of a player, but man, is he electric. I like him a ton. I feel like I always gravitate towards those running backs who become those fan favorite types of players when guys are getting in and out of the lineup, and sometimes they can take one or two touches that go to the house and immediately everybody loves him. Keaton Mitchell, wherever he goes, he is somebody who I'm definitely going to keep my eye on because that's a player that I've really enjoyed watching this class.
All right, there we go. Well, on your way out at Tampa Bay, Trey, give me 30 seconds of plugs. Where can the people find you and all the good stuff that you and the folks at PFF are rocking with?
All right, everything obviously at pff.com. You can see all my draft written work over there, doing all the mock drafts, all the big boards, all the rankings, all that good stuff with Mike Renner as well. But if you guys are watching this on YouTube, if you're big YouTube people, the NFL Stock Exchange podcast, myself and Connor Rogers, we're covering the draft front to back for every team in the league as well as we possibly can. Again, the rankings, the big boards, the mock drafts, everything that we're hearing, how we believe the draft is going to go, what we think of all of these players, all that good stuff at the NFL Stock Exchange podcast.
Under 30 seconds. He's good. He's good, ladies and gentlemen. Trevor Sigma, we appreciate you hanging out with this man. Big shout out to your pal Dave as well for getting this facilitated. He is the best in the biz. Best of luck to you. We'll talk to you soon. All right, brother?
Appreciate it. Anytime, guys.
And a big shout out to our guy, Tampa Bay Trey. Everyone do yourselves a favor and follow him on the Twitter, especially as we get closer and closer and closer to next month's NFL draft in Kansas City. Well, it's about that time to crack an ice cold bruchacho, but before we do, just a friendly reminder, those of you that are really locked in to the NFL calendar, which I know is most of you, you will see the next big thing on the docket are the NFL league meetings, and those will occur next week. I believe they kick off Sunday and run through Tuesday. Good news, Silver and Black Productions will be there, making sure you guys get the best coverage from everything happening there. I wouldn't say bad news, the other news is I will not be there. I'm officially on baby watch. It's not going to be today or tomorrow, fingers crossed, but I can't be getting out of Dodge right now with a 9-month pregnant wife at home. So I will be here. Our crew in Arizona is going to do a fantastic job getting you everything that you need. And I think we're still in the early planning stages, but we're going to hopefully have a few really good interviews for you from owners meetings with our friends from NFL Network. Hopefully some silver and black folks that have a little silver and black twinge to them, let's say. I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, it'll be a good week. So everyone make sure that you follow along at Raiders. Head on over to Raiders.com, download the app and all that good stuff, because yes, it is the next thing on the NFL calendar and we will be there. I won't be there, but our group will be there. So with that being said, it is time to crack an ice-cold bruchacho, and man, it has been a heck of a week already, and we could use one. So today, I'm going to crack a brewski for, bit of a shocker here, our very own Princeton Tigers. Yes, those Princeton Tigers that are in the midst of the madness. I really wanted to crack a cold one for the entirety of March Madness, because this is one of my, if not my number one favorite kind of sporting event in the offseason. It's just the best. It's so good. Those first 4 days are incredible. Then you get to kind of have that little decompress that we've had for the last several. And then we are back starting later today. I mean, probably the time this comes out, we're actually probably rolling in terms of having basketball back on the tube. And it is just a great event. And really, the Princeton Tigers, just the best underdog story this year, right? I know 16 beating is a one, fine, it is all good and dandy, but man, to have a 15 seed not only win one game, knocking off Arizona, as much as it pained me to see a team from the Conference of Champions take that L, to then win again 48 hours later against Missouri to advance to the Sweet 16, phenomenal. Phenomenal. I am all in on the Princeton Tigers. It's funny, though. I have a buddy, one of my good pals, is a Yale graduate. And so I asked him, I said, hey, man, like, I don't know what the rooting allegiances are with something like this. Like, do you pull for the other Ivy Leagues? Are you very against the other Ivy Leagues in these types of tournaments? And he said, listen, he goes, I'm all Ivy all the time, baby, except for Harvard. He goes, I will never, ever, ever root for Harvard in anything, but we're all in on Princeton. So shout out to those Tigers. For the sake of shenanigans, go win another game, boys. Maybe go win two. Let's get a 15 seed to the Final Four. Why not? It's the madness. I love it. I love it. I love it. I cannot wait to consume, once again, another fantastic few days of hoops, man. Nothing better. And the semi or the regional, whatever the proper term for it is, the Sweet 16, this region here in Vegas. Couple games coming to T-Mobile Arena, so very, very cool. I don't know if I got an in for that. So anyone out there, if you got a plug for tickets or that one, holler at your boy. But it regardless, such a good event. You know, even for watching on TV, it doesn't get much better than hoops in March and I guess late March and into early April. So it is going to be a blast. Roll on, you Tigers! I don't know what their little slogan is, but all the same, pulling for you, my friends, and go keep it weird. So. On that note, as I said, we will be back same time, same place next week. Friendly reminder, as I said, Raiders.com, at Raiders, download the app. League meetings kick off. We will be there. There's going to be a lot coming out of it, and we can't wait to deliver it all to you. So make sure you're locked in with us. If you're not locked in with us, I can't promise that you're going to get the news. I simply cannot. So make sure you're there riding along on this journey with us, and we will see you. Again, I guess mid to next week. So, for Eddie Pascal, our guest this week, Trevor Sikkema from PFF, my man Ray on the ones and twos, and our entire operation here at Silver and Black Productions, thank you for hanging out with us. And as I said, we'll be back same time, same place, same beautiful studio for our next episode of Upon Further Review.
Thanks for listening to this edition of Upon Further Review, presented by Coors Light on the official Raiders Podcast Network.
And we're back with breaking news. Coke Zero Sugar might be the best Coke ever.
That's right, Jim. Coke Zero Sugar is a must-try for any Coke fan, so make sure you... Jim. Jim. We're on the air.
Ooh, yes, this tastes like the best Coke ever to me. Your thoughts, Jen?
Well, can I have a sip?
Jen, we're in the middle of reporting the news.
I need to try it first.